Good evening, everybody.
Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour. This is a bonus episode in which we are going to rank the houses of Halloween Horror Nights 2017. Joining me tonight is special guest Jimmy Styles. Say hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. This episode of Disney Magic Hour is brought to you by the MEI Travel. For all your vacation planning needs, for visiting Walt Disney World, taking a cruise, traveling anywhere around the globe, and going to Universal and checking out Halloween Horror Nights for yourself, visit the experts over at MEITravel.com, where Becky and her team can get you started on your own adventure. Right now, you're listening to There You Are. You can find this track and more over at SoundCloud.com/PogoMix. His website is PogoMix.net. We are LastGenPodcast.com. Find us on Twitter for this show at DizMagicHourPod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. You can find us on Facebook for our group, Disney Magic Hour. And you can find this show, which you already did, but you can find it on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. Our Instagram is at Disney Magic Hour Podcast. And if you'd like to help us keep this show a rolling down the road and become a production assistant within the Disney Magic Hour rankings, head on over to patreon.com/DisneyMagicHour. A lot of fun going on over there. I want to first and foremost welcome my guest of the Dopey Dudes podcast, Jimmy Styles. You guys all know him out there. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Pete. How are you doing?
I am good. And just so everyone knows, where can everyone find you in the new show that you and Frank Hart are doing? And that actually, we're kind of doing a thing, you know, this whole thing this week together, because me and you are currently recording the house rankings, and then we're going to record an episode of Dopey Dudes where we're going to tackle, how exactly are we doing that? The you know, tackling like questions about first-time goers to Halloween Horror Nights?
Yeah, I had some listeners. Well, first of all, you can find us at thedopeydudes.com, and the Facebook group is facebook.com/thedopeydudes, and you can download us on iTunes. Hopefully we'll be on Stitcher soon. We're working our way towards that. But you can just search for The Dopey Dudes on iTunes. So yeah, like Pete and I just kind of had this idea of we're going to do kind of two shows, one where we rank the houses because we've been to Horror Nights multiple times already. And then from a lot of my listeners, we're a little bit more of we're both Disney-based, you know, kind of audiences. But I have listeners that ask me about Horror Nights all the time. And most of them have never been, including my co-host, Frank Hart. So he had a lot of questions that he wanted to ask me. So I was like, let's make a show out of this. And I asked my audience for questions. Frank had some questions. So we're going to tackle some of those.
Awesome stuff. So let's go into this right away. You know, this is only my second year at Halloween Horror Nights. I've been to this event this year so far three times. I'm going to be going twice in the next 6 days. So I'm really excited. I did put the investment into the Frequent Fear Pass with Express, which, while the price tag at first is like, my goodness, it was about $350. Once, you know, you go a couple of times, you really, really make that money back. You break it down per visit. My goal is 10 times to go this year, so that it makes it that every time I went, it was, you know, $3, you know, $30. So that is my experience thus far with Halloween Horror Nights. I fell in love with it last year. This year, I was super excited for everything building up to it. Jimmy, I know you've been going for much longer than I have, though.
Yes, I've been to five consecutive years, 23 through now 27. Five times. And well, actually, my first time I ever went was back in 2001 when I was about 19 years old. And when I was doing the Disney College program, I attended the first time. That was Halloween Horror Nights 11, I want to say. Yeah, it's, and if I could, you have no idea, like, the leaps and bounds they've made in these haunted houses since then. I think back then they only had about four or five houses. Now we're up to nine. Yeah. And, I mean, the scare zones were always present. And, but the houses went from kind of, it almost looked like like almost just plywood kind of built houses in a soundstage to now it feels like you're on essentially a working movie set.
And I would say that with the Express Pass going, nine houses is the right amount. You know, you can get to those comfortably without having to run around. If there were more, I would feel stretched. I'd be like, oh man, there's a lot to hit, you know, in one night. But right now that seems like that seems so far to my experience to be a good number to be at. So how we're going to do this is we're going to first discuss the houses one by one, basically how they are numbered on the map. There's nine houses. They're numbered 1 through 9. So we're going to – well, they're lettered A through I, actually, but whatever. We'll worry about 1 through 9. And we're going to give a ranking for that house after we discuss it, you know, out of 4. And then at the end, we will, you know, basically list off numbered, you know, from the bottom to the top what we think are the best houses this year. The good thing about this is there's usually no bad houses. There's usually just varying degrees of good. Yeah. So, it will be like that. Although I will say that I have a house that I was not really a huge fan of. Very much so for varying reasons, but we'll get to that later. So starting right off on the map that you are handed when you come into the park, the first listed house is American Horror Story. Now, this was, you know, now the second year in a row they've done American Horror Story, and they follow the same pattern, is that they set it up based on 3 seasons. And this house, this year's house, I believe, is Asylum, Coven, and Roanoke, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so last year when we had American Horror Story, I'd never watched a single episode of American Horror Story. I liked the house so much that I watched the first season as a result, and I really thought it was great. So I went into this. You would think that, like, well, then you watched other seasons, right? No, because I'm terrible at watching television. So I went into this year under the same circumstances where I was like, these look like fun seasons, and I didn't watch any of them. So, Jimmy, what did you think of this year's house, a follow-up to last year's house?
I liked it. These were two of the seasons I liked the most of the show. I have watched every single episode of American Horror Story, except for some this season. I'm a little backed up. But I really enjoyed the Asylum season, and I really enjoyed Roanoke, which was the most recent before the current season that we have right now. But I liked the house a lot. I thought it was really good. Some good scares in this one. I had it, I think last year's was a little bit better, which kind of surprised me because I thought this, some of the seasons they used for this one would play a little better in a haunted house, but I had this maybe a little bit below last year's.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a step down from last year. I thought last year's was one of the best houses. I would have put it in the top 3. If not the top 2, possibly. And going into this one, maybe my expectations were a little bit too high, but I didn't think Asylum or the Coven section of the house really worked for me very well. There's only one particular scare that happens in there with a certain red-clad fellow that really gave me any kind of a jump. But then the house goes into the Roanoke season, and I think it's great. Like, it has more of an atmosphere to it. It has more of the costuming is more interesting. Everything's more interesting. Maybe it's because a lot of the characters, whatnot, quote unquote, that we see in the first section of Asylum, they're retreads of other seasons. So I already saw them in a house.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, you know, it was like you again. All right, cool. Where Roanoke, there, and I have no idea what the hell this means, but there was that very, like, skinny, thin, all clad in black girl who was, like, climbing on the walls.
Yeah, you need to.
Yeah, I mean, out of context, that doesn't make any damn sense at all.
Yeah.
But I think this house needs a bit of improvement. It's got some cool set pieces, but it's a step down from last year, and that's a bummer. Like, I was hoping that it would be yet again one of the top ones. This also is one of the odder queues.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of an odd queue, because you go through the outside queue to then be cattled into an inside queue, which is kind of fun because certain rooms have certain smells, certain portions of the house have certain smells, and you can get a whiff of them. While you're waiting online, so your mind sort of goes like, what the hell is that? What's going on over here? So I think it's kind of a cool idea. It kind of builds you up into the moment a little more. even if it was a little bit kind of took us off guard when we first went in there.
Yes. Even though it's a little different there, one of the things I kind of like about that is usually when you walk into one of these haunted houses, you're walking in basically directly from outside into the house, and there's no theming on the outside whatsoever, except for maybe one or two. Mm-hmm. This one, you're in kind of that – it's like about three switchbacks once you get inside the soundstage that this house is in. But they quote some lines from the show – from the seasons that they do. They play some of the music from the seasons that they do. You hear kind of the music that's kind of iconic from the opening credits that, you know, a lot of fans love from the show, just because it's super creepy to start the show. So it's kind of a good little way to ease you in before you go into the house. And
I thought it was cool. It was a cool little thing. And some sound cues pop in pretty loudly. So if you're not paying attention, you go, oh, you get a little bit of a jump, you know, even waiting in the queue. But unfortunately, I think 2/3 of the house, they don't really work for me. So I gave this out of 4 stars. I gave it a rating of 2. Which is a big disappointment, because I would say last year was a 3.5-star house for me personally. How about you?
All right. See, I gave it a 3, like, because I don't think it's bad. I mean, maybe it's because I'm more of a fan of the show than you are, and I've seen every episode. So, you know, there were things that probably made more sense to me than they would to you. So I gave it a 3.
And I, you know what? I think that difference in something is going to come up later in reverse in one of the houses.
Yep.
So, as much as I don't think like you should sit down and watch everything that these are based off of, it's helpful. Like for some houses, it's just helpful.
Yeah.
And this may have been one of them. But I mean, I didn't know anything about the first one when I went into it, and I just thought it worked a lot better. Moving on, we have, I would say, the biggest name, like the biggest, you know, reveal, the most excitement behind a house was Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. And this is actually in the same exact location as my number one house last year, which was The Exorcist. It's pretty much populated in the same space. And The Shining is one of my favorite films of all time. Now, you had not seen The Shining up until a couple of weeks ago, correct?
Yeah, I had finally watched it, I believe, 2 days before before the first time I went to Horror Nights for the year.
Now, what did you think of the movie? Because I'm always curious of how that movie plays to somebody who's never seen it, you know, before nowadays.
I mean, it's definitely interesting. I don't find it to be all that scary. It's more suspenseful and more kind of a psychological kind of movie. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Jack Nicholson's phenomenal. Yeah. After watching the film, I was really curious to see how they were going to turn this into a haunted house, because there's not really that many jump scares in the movie.
Yeah, the movie's not something that does that. It's all mental and, methodic and slow cooked, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I remember saying to you, like, I wish they would actually have the nerve to make a house that wasn't a lot of loud noise, you know? So why don't you talk about The Shining first?
I really enjoyed this house. It feels like you are ripped right into the middle of the movie. Just from like the opening facade of this house, once you walk inside and you have it'll be a little bit of a spoiler, but you have the hedge maze, and the hedge maze plays a big part in this house. The music's great. They have great lookalike scare actors. I really, really enjoyed this house.
I think the first time we went through it, I was so excited just to see everything that I was too excited to just see everything. And I didn't let any of the house affect me, because I was just like, oh my God, they did that. They did that. They did that. My God, that looks exactly like in the film. I got so wrapped up in looking at how the house was set up. You could have set someone on fire, could have walked in front of me. I would have been like, excuse me, sir, I'm trying to look at this thing. So the first time we did it, when we walked out, I was like, man, that looked incredible. Nothing scared me. You know, like that was my exact response, which I thought was funny, because that was your response to the movie. A heck of a job with recreating some of the most iconic moments and scenes, including the bloody elevator, which, you know, I was like, how are they going to do that? And they pulled that off quite well.
I think that was kind of everybody's biggest, like, how the heck are they going to do that?
Yeah.
And they like, and what always scares me with Universal is it's a lot of screens everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I was worried they just have it as like a projection on the wall or something like that. But no, they created the bloody elevator.
Yeah, they created the bloody elevator, the hallway scene. And my only thing that I would say is I think it is production wise the best they've ever done of an IP that I've seen so far. Like, as you know, Jimmy, as you were saying, you were in the movie. Like, it 100%. Everything looks real. The golden oak room is my best scene in all of Halloween Horror Nights this year. And whoever they got to play Lloyd, that cat looks just like Lloyd. It's really nuts. But I would just say maybe underutilize the twins a little bit within the house. I would have liked to have seen them in a different position. And there are just a couple of spots where no matter what, you see the scare occur well in front of you. It's almost impossible not to see it occur in front of you. So I don't know how the timing of that would ever work as opposed to, you know, just looking forward and being like, oh, well, that happens. Now, I know on one of the ones that I'm referring to, it actually still worked on you because while the scare actor was in plain sight, they made an extra kind of jump at you, and it worked.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah. I don't want to give away too many spoilers for anybody.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to like dance around it. Yeah,
but it's like some of the scare actors are really good about, you know, even if you see them like and you know the scare's coming, still somehow getting their timing right where they're still going to scare you.
Yeah, yeah. So that was great. The prosthetic on the head of Jack Nicholson as scare actors is maybe not grand, but they go by so quick. The second time we went through it, though, we went with a couple of more people. And I will tell you, that hedge maid's part was timed to perfection.
Oh, yeah.
Man, an axe swinging like right in front of you when you don't notice it. Just really, really great stuff. So I had this out of 3.0. This was my 3 out of 4. And only because I feel like I can see too much. That's something actually I kind of think I could. There was a thing with that this whole year. There's only one house or two houses where when we're going through it, I get that sense of misdirection, like really heavy, where I'm like, I don't know where I am. And I love that feeling. But The Shining to me, it's a 3.0. It's the best looking house, in my opinion. But it's not getting me on the scares. Because they're very timing based, and some of them are just way too in front of you.
Yeah, see, I gave it the same exact score. I gave it a 3. I'm a big jump scare person in a house, so like, you know, Pete knows because he'll see me like, you know, cringe when somebody's jumping out at me. But I feel like some of the jump scares in this house were kind of forced, like they didn't have to be there. But again, it's kind of like it's not a movie that's conducive to that. And you can't just have somebody walking on a set and that's all it is for a haunted house. Like, you need to give them the scares. But then don't get me wrong, there were some really good ones, but
there's one, if you get the right timing of it, which on the first time that we were in the house, no, second time that we were in the house, we got this perfect timing of one of the larger set pieces. And I jumped real hard mm-hmm. at that one. So that's a 3.0 in my book. Next up, we have our first original IP, which, let me tell you, the IPs are pulling their weight this year. And the first one that we get to is The Fallen. So I'm just going to read you the blurb about this, what this says on here. It says, you're about to be caught in the crossfire of an eternal war of light versus dark. No one is safe. The Fallen. So this was a journey through hell, right?
Essentially.
Yeah. I didn't see any light people in this. Everyone, if there was anyone in the light side, they were on a pole. Like they were, you know, stabbed through the chest on a pole, Diablo 3 style. If you've ever played Diablo 3, it kind of looks like Diablo 3 meets Doom, this whole house. And that's a compliment because those are awesome. So The Fallen is, you know, as I said, the first original IP, and it is one of the coolest damn houses they've ever made. There are phenomenal costumes in this, and there is quite possibly my favorite staged stunt. I don't know how else to really describe it, but It's my favorite stage stunt that I've ever seen at Halloween Horror Nights. The only problem is that it requires you to have lucky timing, because a couple of you are going to see it, and then a number of you are not, while they reset the effect. So it's a kind of a bummer that they weren't able to figure out a way to maybe like set up two people, that it's like one and then the other. But if you get to see this particular, you know, flight, it is out of this world. I thought this house was awesome. I really did. It made me think of video games I love also. I thought this was one of the coolest damn houses of the year. This was a strong start to the original IPs, was The Fallen. What did you think about it, Jimmy?
Yeah, I like The Fallen too. It's a really, really neat kind of effects that they use in this house, because most of the times for most houses, like, you know, the scares are coming from your left or your right. This one, they're coming from above. So make sure you're looking up while you're going through this house as well, because you never know when there might be something up there.
Yeah, we got to talk about that later, because there's a later house where we were in it with somebody and there was a lot going on above them. Scare actor was trying to get their attention. They just never, ever noticed it. It was pretty great. What do you give this for a rating? I thought this was, you know, the theming alone in this place and the costumes. The costumes this year are out of this world. They're just so fantastic. And this one in particular, it is a full theme from step one of the outside of the house to when you very last leave. It is just packed with atmosphere. Out of four, what did you rank this one?
I gave it 2.5. I felt like there was some wasted space in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they kind of make up for it a little later on. But yeah, I gave this 2.5.
I actually gave it 3.5. This was one of my favorite houses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really thought this was just phenomenally done. It's so hard for me to be like, it's scary, because like normally I just don't get scared. I'll get a couple of good jumps and I'll be like, but then I'll be laughing about it. It's so much fun. I love it. But I actually just love the theming on this so much. And I was so impressed by that stunt, but it does lose a little bit because it is so luck based on when you're getting to that specific spot. You know, we had a group of people that we were with one of the times, and none of them even saw what happened, you know, and like we saw it and I was like, yo, did you see that? And they were like, nope, didn't see anything. I was like, no. Oh, well, that sucks, you know, because we only have the express pass for one run per thing, and kind of a bummer on that one. So for me, The Fallen was a big one. What do you got next on your list over there, Jimmy? What do we have next up?
The next house I have is another one of the originals, which is Dead Waters.
Yes.
I will give you the description. It says, enter a pestilent swamp that oozes evil, the hellish realm of the Voodoo Queen. If you fail to escape, you're in for a gut-wrenching sacrifice.
Now, how did you describe this house to me the first time that you talked to me about it?
Being that we're all Disney fans, I think this was a good way to describe this house. It is essentially Princess and the Frog, but Mama Odie wants to kill you.
Yes. And that is 100% accurate. This may be one of the coolest overall houses also that I've ever seen. It is the coolest introduction to a house. When you turn that corner and you see the setup for this house, it's the best one I've ever seen.
It is one of the best set. Like I said, this is my sixth year total I've been to Horror Nights, fifth consecutive. This is one of the best set pieces I have ever seen in a haunted house.
Yeah. And it works. They do some work on the outside when you're not really expecting it. And then on the inside, it's pretty much nonstop. You know, it is a good flow of, you know, things happening. There's some great effects where, you know, you're walking on a very, very tilted floor, you know, to make it seem like the object that you're in is, you know, crumbling away and all that kind of good stuff. It is well lit, like in a sense, like there's no ultra dark spots, but the atmosphere is done in such a way that you feel like everything is just lit by a lot of candles, which is accurate for the setting and all that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the best houses of the year in the overall quality of it. I think that this is one of the shining houses.
I agree. Like, I the first time I did this house, I fell in love with it. One of my favorite scares is in this house. There are actually a couple of my favorite scares in this house. The makeup and costumes in this one on the scare actors are phenomenal. It's just, it's such a great house. My only gripe with it is that it might be a little short.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. There are other houses that are very lengthy that we noticed this year. Actually, I think the next one that we're going to speak about is one of them. We've noticed that a couple of houses were very, very lengthy. But you know what? I will take an hour and a half film that's spot on rather than a 2 hour and 15 minute film where the first 35, 40 minutes are not that intriguing.
I agree. I'll
take the shorter one over the longer one just because of the quality within. So it's tough to speak about this house in particular without ruining it.
Yeah. There's really not much you can say.
Yeah. You know, let's just say it takes place in the bayou, you know, and just kind of go from there. Where did you rank this out of four?
Out of four, I gave this 4 stars.
Same here.
Like it's for an original house from Universal, this is one of the best I've ever done. It was pretty much perfection in my book.
I'm right there with you. I gave it a 4 as well. And I cannot wait to bring more people on this one, this attraction in particular, to bring them into this house because I just think it's a blast. So Deadwaters, huge success. Coming up next.
I have one more thing to say.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
I'm the captain now.
I'm the captain now. Yeah. No.
You'll get it.
You'll get it when you go through it.
Maybe.
Ask us after you guys go through it. Hit us up with a message. I'll explain it. So the next house is one that I feel there's more to speak about than just is the house good, because it is the horrors of Blumhouse, which is a production company that is, you know, I would say right now the most successful horror production company currently, you know, that's cranking out films and whatnot. And, you know, they know them for The Conjuring and then Sinister, The Purge, Insidious. This is all from them. So this year's house is a combination of those three. It's and I'll give it to you in the order that it happens in the house. Sinister, The Purge, and Insidious. So all three of those properties are within this one house. And I mean, they're missing the big one. You know, they're missing The Conjuring, which is the big one. And or Annabelle even, which, you know, you would say that's even, you know, up there above all those other film series towards like popularity and money taken in at the box office. Annabelle Creation, which I thought was okay for a fair amount of it and just was dumb for another fair amount of it. Pulled in a lot of cash. Conjuring 1 and 2, obviously the biggies. There's always that, there's a whole thing going on with Conjuring and its rights right now. So that I feel like that's the only reason that this is not just a Conjuring house and one of like the main things that they would have pushed up in the promotion game. So given that, what did you think, Jimmy, of the Blumhouse production house?
I liked the horrors of Blumhouse. I still have not seen Sinister. I've seen The Purge and I've seen the first Insidious. I haven't seen the second or third, and there's the fourth upcoming. I know the stories of the second and the third. But there were some things in this house I thought worked really well. And then there's other things in this house I thought that didn't work so well.
I am directly with you. And to be totally blunt, I think that the Sinister portion of it is fine. It's good. Mm-hmm. The Purge part is utterly boring.
Yeah, there's really nothing scary about it.
I'm just waiting to get through it because it's like, yeah, I get it. Americans with guns. What a shocker. You know, that's not scary anymore. That's more like depressing and sad. But anyways, especially given everything else that's going on in the world. So the Purge portion does zero for me. Then we get into the Insidious part. And the Insidious part, for my money right now, and this is based on our third go-through. The first two go-throughs, I was like, it was good. I really do like that third part. The most recent trip that we took through there, that third portion scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually the only house. That portion of that house is the only portion of all of Horror Nights where I personally feel like we are under attack. You know, because they are just everywhere. Now, I don't know if we just had incredible timing or what, if there was more scare actors on hand, but it just felt like relentless in a good way, like a really, really good way. And it lifted the whole house, but Jesus, that middle portion, which let's also say the Sinister and the Purge part, very short.
Yeah, it's about two rooms each.
Yeah.
And then you get into the Insidious part.
You get into the Insidious part, and that's the bulk of the attraction. And that part, it's lengthy, and it's really highly effective. You just have to get through two kind of snoozers to get to it.
Yeah.
So that was my reaction to the house. You know, did any of those work for you more than the other?
Sinister, I'm 100% on board with you. Sinister was okay. I'd like to see the film just so maybe I could understand that part a little bit more.
Yeah.
The Purge I've seen, I just feel like the Purge is getting to Walking Dead-ish levels with Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Because a few years ago we had a Purge Scare Zone. Then we had a Purge House. Now this year again we have a Purge Scare Zone along with a section in a house. And yeah. I just feel like it's getting too much. And I've only seen the first Purge movie. I haven't seen either of the following sequels, but I didn't find them all that scary. It was more they were kind of going for a gore kind of, you know, just kind of idea. But like, so that didn't really work. But again, the Insidious, they've done a full-on Insidious house 2 years ago at Halloween Horror Nights 25, which was a great house. I thought it was really, really well done. And this follows in that same footstep. And I think they hit the Insidious part of it, like right on the head.
Yeah, I just don't see why Purge should be featured as much as it is at all in Halloween Horror Nights. I guess because it's easy. I hate to say that, but it kind of feels like it's an easy thing. It's like costumes, clothes, like it's regular ass clothes and just some masks. Like it just doesn't come off as very interesting visually. It's except for the Statue of Liberty face girl, the neon. Everything else is kind of drab. I don't know why. It just doesn't interest me at all. Given all that, though, I'm going to give the house a 2.5 out of 4. And it's really 2.0 of that is the last, you know, third of the house, which is, again, the largest portion. But the first two of them, as I said, Sinister's fine. Purge is bad. And then the house, I think, just is phenomenal, like from there on out. But it feels like it was a replacement is kind of what it is. It feels like they're like, all right, we can't do that. We got to do this. And this is what they came up with.
Yeah, I'm not like I gave it the same exact score as you. I gave it 2.5. I'm not sure it was really a replacement just because of the facade they had on the front. Like it was kind of something like they had announced maybe a month or so before Horror Nights started. So it's not like something you could whip up real quick. It kind of looked like that was supposed to be the front of this house the whole time. But my score's.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, my score is the same exact as yours. I'm 2.5.
I mean, the thing is, like, yes, okay, the facade was up a month before. That's not when that decision was made. You know, like, I don't even know if they could put together a house of any kind of thing like that from scratch from a month ahead. You know, these things happen over the next year. So I think somewhere in there, there's kind of a different idea had to be put forward. But I would love to see them do other stuff within the Blumhouse title. So I want them to come back. I just don't want it to be Purge again. I mean, yeah, because I'm with you. I think it's worse than The Walking Dead. Like at least Walking Dead was like culturally it's a massively popular thing. Like it's falling off pretty steadily in the last couple of years. But like that makes more sense to me because I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not digging it anymore. You know, I was a massive fan of the comics and even those kind of fell off to the side for me. But I understand because it gets millions and millions of viewers a week when that show is on the air. So I'm like, it's justified. I understand. It's a business decision. Purge feels like patches. You know, Purge feels like, well, we can do this again. And that's not great. I don't want to feel like that with these houses. What do we have next, Jimmy? This is another IP that we're going towards, original IP.
Yeah, this is one of their original houses. It is called Hive. It is the crumbling house on 19 Hemingway Lane harbors a nest of bloodthirsty vampires. If you awaken them, you will face savage, bestial hunger.
Yes. Or just a very heavy set vampire just kind of eating his meal and not bothering you as happens in one of the scenes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird.
It's a little weird.
So we were just over the moon with – well, not over the moon, but quite over the moon, sort of, with Fallen and Dead Waters, two of the other original houses that we spoke about so far. Hive, I don't think, reaches their potential. I don't think it reaches its own potential.
Mm-hmm.
It does include one of the coolest makeup effects, though.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, we'll just say, you know, it's an effect on the eyes that is really, really effective. It's ultra cool. The first two times we went in that house, it was near the bottom of the heap for me. The last time we went in it, I felt that there was a little more energy going through that house. I don't know if the scare actors or whatever have kind of read the reviews, because I've looked at other rankings of houses, and this one is sort of at the bottom on a lot of them. And I don't know if they read that and they were like, yeah, we got to up our game a little bit. Let's start getting into this a little more. Let's try timing this a little better. But I'm not sure that even their best efforts can kind of hide a house that I don't know really has very much going on. How about you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I went through this house again, actually last night when I was there, and it was still kind of, it's towards the bottom. I mean, it's not a terrible house by any means, but it's not, you know, it doesn't knock your socks off when you go in there.
Now, why is that for you? So I have a very specific reason for me why I think the setting is really kind of cool. Like, you're in a decrepit house that has like that old dirt smell, which I guess like that's the house for smells, because remember that was the Texas Chainsaw House,
yeah,
which had that horrid like cat piss smell that just it was perfect for what it was needed, but you know, it's just awful to walk through. This has like that rotten earth kind of smell. So it's got a great idea going, but then I don't know, it just didn't. Nothing kind of stuck out to me except for the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. That scare actor with the eye effect was super cool. And, yeah. But other than that, like, none of the makeup really scared me. There were a lot of like humanoid kind of vampires. There were a couple that looked almost bat-like, and some of that makeup was really cool. And I think one of the things that really hurt this house was the finish. Like, the last room you walk through just kind of looks like it's a big, like two big scrims where it looks like all of the vampires in the house are staring at you. Mm-hmm. But that's all there is. There's no scare there.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a couple of like blinky lights and it doesn't really do anything. Now, the makeup is, I see, like, I do appreciate the makeup because of the source that it's trying to reference to, Murnau's, you know, Nosferatu, which is, you know, one of the classic films of all time. So that's what the look of the vampire is. And I actually really appreciate that style heavily. I'm also really excited because one of my favorite films of the last couple of years was The Witch by Robert Eggers. And I had an opportunity to interview him when The Witch was coming out and all that. And he had mentioned, like, I would love to do a Nosferatu for now. And, you know, with his kind of styles and capabilities. And they are. They actually are doing the Nosferatu film now, which is kind of cool. I'm really excited about it. But towards this in particular, they have a great look, but then the atmosphere just kind of fails them a little bit. I like the idea of the house. Like, it's a cool thing, but they don't use it to their advantage because everyone is just sort of like hiding behind a wall. You know, and not in an ultra effective or just creative way. It's just like, yeah, you're behind that wall. You know, and they pop out and that's really it. There's nothing else really going on to capture your eye so that when you walk by that's, you know, that little corner, the alcove where the scare actor's hidden behind, you're not looking anywhere else but exactly at that alcove.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no misdirection in this house.
Yeah, there's really not. Or like any what I call bounce scares, because it's like, you know, you might have a scare actor on your left, and he'll jump out to make you turn right, and then there's another one over there. This house didn't really have any of those.
That's something that Dead Waters does extremely effectively in a couple of spots.
Yep.
The most effective house of that is coming up next, okay. I would say. But yeah, this house just goes sort of full of flat. It was a huge improvement that third walkthrough, but, you know, I don't know. You said you went on just last night, and it kind of went right back to where it sort of was, I guess.
I mean, the only benefit of the doubt I'll give it with that is I had another incident while I was there where it started raining while I was waiting in line for the house.
Mm.
So I went through the house and I was soaked from head to toe.
Okay.
And I was kind of just miserable. I'm like, just get me through this house. I want to go back to the car and get out of my wet shirt.
See, you're lucky I wasn't there, because I would have been like, hey, we should do this other house before we go, and then just get killed more with rain and just look like a dog who's been just abandoned in the road.
Yeah.
So for this house, where would I have this? I got a 2 on this house.
I'm same exact, a 2. Like,
that's a 2.
I don't think there's any house I've ever done that would have gotten a 1. So I'm trying to think what house you could possibly be thinking of now. It's not great by any means. It's okay. Yeah. And some of the effects are cool, but
it was probably a 1.5 before that third trip. That third trip, oh, really? I was like, hey, you know what? This house has some potential. I honestly felt that in the third time we went through it. That was the other thing, was in the first couple of times we went through it, first like 3 rooms, nothing happened.
Yeah, I remember the first room. Like, I think I even said that to you, the second or third time we went through it. And I'm like, this room's missing something. Like, you're just kind of in the basement of this house and there's nothing there. And if anything, that's where you'd expect there to be something scary, would be in the basement.
Yeah. So unfortunately, the Hive is, I would say, the lowest of the original houses this year. But on that note, let's talk about Scarecrow the Reaping, which if you're a fan of Halloween Horror Nights and you've been reading anything, you've probably heard about this house by now. So the description reads, at a long-lost, abandoned, Depression-era farm, vengeance takes root, and the only harvest that will that will be reaped is you. That's so great and stupid. It's really good. That's some good corny-ass writing right there. Scarecrow the Reaping. Take it away, Jimmy.
I freaking loved it. It's one of my favorite haunted houses I've ever done at Halloween Horror Nights.
It's so good. It's so good. So like, we were just talking about The Hive before, and that takes place in a house. And we were like, you know, it takes place in a house. It looks kind of cool, but there's nothing really like distracting my vision to be like, oh, look at that. That's really cool. This is the opposite of that. Where we're in a house. We're in a Depression era farm, but we're in a farmhouse. But it's so well developed. And, you know, like the straw has like taken over the house in a way, like, and there's collapsing ceilings. And there's just things to look at that capture your eye and allow that scare actor to then come out on their mark and scare the hell out of you. And the makeup in this house is out of this world. Out of this world. There's nothing that resembles a human being. Like, obviously, they're, you know, they have the things on. But, like, you can't see skin. Like, it's just – everything is covered. It's so good. It's – and I'm sure you can somewhere. But, like, it's so good. It's so smart. The production value within is just top-notch. And scarecrows are scary as hell. Like, they are. Like, it's in the damn word, scarecrow. And they use that to full effect. And then they even use other things to stranger effect. Because in a house of scarecrows, the crows, one may say, is one of the most effective scares in the entire event this year.
It really is.
And I don't want to, like, you know, spoil it for anyone, but they use a very simple method to kind of give you this crow scare, but it's so effective and it's so smart that it's unnerving. Like, that little room where that thing happens is very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like, we don't want to give anything away, but it's really dark and it's just great. Like, I love this house because it's claustrophobic. Everything is very, very tight to you. Mm. It's loud. And there's a lot of what's called SIF, which is stuff in face. So it's like stuff dangling from the ceiling. So it's kind of distracting you. And next thing you know, there's a scarecrow scaring you from one side to the other side, back to the other side again. And there's just a lot of great, great scares in this house.
One of the coolest puppets I've ever seen. Large scale puppetry uses is in here. And was this the one where something happened above me and I like curled into a ball, basically?
Yep, pretty much.
This was it, right? absolutely works. Every inch of this house is cool as hell. It's one of my favorite houses we've ever had. Well, again, I say it like I've been to so many, but it already feels like I've been to so many just from 2 years. Absolutely top notch. This is a 4 for me without question.
Oh yeah, if I could go higher than a 4, I'd go higher than a 4. But yeah, 4 is my max, and it was easy a 4. Like, I didn't even have to think about.
It's a great outside setting. Once you step in it, you're in it. And
the facade for this one is great.
Yeah, everything works. Just everything works, and there is some really intelligent ways of scaring you in this one. Methods I did not see used last year, where facades just fall away, and there's someone like boom, reaching out their arms to you. I got Melissa a couple of times really, really well. Now, I will say that not as rough as The Fallen, where the coolest part, in my opinion, you've got a 50-50 shot of seeing it. Mm-hmm. One of the coolest parts of this, you maybe have like a 60-40 chance of seeing it.
Yeah.
If you miss it, it's kind of a bummer. Like, I wish everyone would be able to, but you just – unfortunately, you just can't do it, or everyone would see it all the time and it would never be a shock, which is the problem that I think The Shining has in a couple of spots. But even with that factored in, this is a 4 out of 4 house for me. One of the best they've ever done. Jimmy, I'm going to let you introduce the next one, because the path of this one is kind of fun, I think.
Yeah, it really is. So the next one we have is Ash vs. Evil Dead, which is the show that is on Stars.
Yes.
The description is, you will howl with terror and laughter as you witness Ash battle demons and deadites armed with his fueled chainsaw.
Yes. Accurate.
Exactly.
That's an accurate statement right there. So I'm a huge Evil Dead fan. And I had actually never watched Ash vs. Evil Dead because I didn't have Stars. I always wanted to. I always heard it was great. All my friends told me I would love it. So when this was announced, I was like, all right, I got to find someone's Stars login. So I found a relative who had a Stars login and went into it, watched the first two seasons, which are the only two seasons thus far. Third one's coming up, to prep for knowing this, because as familiar as I am with Ash and the Evil Dead and Ash versus the Army of Darkness, Army of Darkness and all that, this was not that. So I wanted to catch up on it. So I became a big fan of the show because it's just right up my alley. And this house was this house is this year's fun house. I think that's kind of clear to say. Mm-hmm. I loved this damn house. I take that back. There's a section that has, what would you call it, Jimmy? Bounce back scares?
Yeah.
Bounce back scares galore is in this one particular hallway, and I think it's really effective. But overall, I just wanted to, like, the way that I described it, I think the second or third time, was like, I just want to high five the house. Because it's just a kick-ass fun house, and everything in it is so placated towards the fan that they just nailed it. Now I know you had a bit of a different experience though. So what was your kind of role with this one?
Yeah. So, I went into this having never seen an episode of the show. I believe I've seen Evil Dead. I'm not sure. I know I haven't seen Army of Darkness, but, so I went into this house and I went through it and I came out and I think I kind of looked at Pete and I was like, that was terrible.
Yeah. And yeah, you did not like it.
I didn't like it at all. Like, I didn't think the scares were there. It just did nothing for me. And Pete's like, you have to watch the show. He's like, watch the show and you'll get a new appreciation for it. I have since watched season one and I'm in the middle of season two. And now I love this house. It's just so much fun. Like, a lot of my friends were in the same boat as me because they still haven't seen the show. Mm-hmm. And they're just, well, we don't need to see this. Or we don't need to do this house. It's not good. But I'm always like, guys, we got to go do Ash vs. Evil Dead. Just because it's so much fun. The characters they get to play, Ash Williams in it, look great. I mean, he's got his chainsaw hand and everything I don't think it's a big spoiler because we all know that kind of happens in the movies.
Yeah, of course.
But it's got a lot of his great quotable lines from the series in there. And this house is just flat. Pete said it perfectly. You want to like high five the house because it's just fun.
Yeah. Now, I will say that maybe it's not great that it's so dependent on you knowing the show, though. agree. You know, that could be a negative for somebody because not everyone's going to want to sit down and watch a two-hour show, and maybe they're not familiar with the movies at all. So there's a fair amount of baggage that has to kind of be carried into this house. So I do think that is something that you have to hold against it. You know, granted, if you are familiar with it, you're going to have a blast. But yeah. If you're not, everything's going to kind of seem weird and not really connected. And, you know, you're just not going to know what the hell anything refers to, you know, because it's a theme that is sort of funny, you know, like, so it's a weird animal to tackle if you're not familiar with the source material. But if you are familiar with the source material, I think you're just going to eat this house up.
Like, and I think you need to see more than just the movie Evil Dead. Like, you need to see the series. I mean, you get you kind of understand the Book of the Dead and stuff like that from the movie, but you really need to see the series to understand the house.
Yeah, no, it is 100% the series. I mean, the series goes into a lot of nods, not even nods, like direct correlations with the films that then help you appreciate the show a little more. Look, it's a series. Like, this is a, you know, you're reading a book and it starts with Evil Dead. It starts with Raimi's Evil Dead and it continues on through the Raimi produced TV show. For me, this is the 3.0. But what else you got, Jimmy?
Like, just one thing that adds to this house a lot, I feel like, is the music, because they use music that's directly in the series. And it helps a lot.
And it's music as in like AC/DC. Like, there's an AC/DC hallway that you walk through, which is kind of kick-ass.
Yeah. But I give this house the same score as you. I give it a 3. After my first maybe 2 nights of doing it, I probably would have given this maybe less than a 2. Mm-hmm. But now that I understand it, I'm all in, and I want to do it every time I go.
All right, cool.
I think I texted you at one point when I was watching the show, and I was just like, Pete, dude, I'm in.
Yeah. You text me just like, I'm in. Ash vs. Evil Dead, I'm in totally. I was like, all right, good. It warmed my heart. So we have one more house left to speak of, and that is Saw. Saw, again, very, very popular movie series. There's a film Jigsaw coming out this year because, I don't know, money? I have no idea. I guess they came up with another idea. So description of Saw, if you're unfamiliar with the film itself. The traps are set. All that's missing is you. The Jigsaw Killer has come to torment you with his twisted take on poetic justice. I've never been a fan of the movies. I watched the first movie, and just because I'm annoying like this, only in certain things. Like, there's a lot of times, like, I have no idea what the hell's going on. But, like, Saw never really worked for me because 20 minutes into the film, I was like, oh, well, that. And it was supposed to be like this big reveal. And I was like, nah, it's clearly that, you know. I don't really dig the torture porn films. They don't do anything for me. So the Saw series to me was never really anything very interesting. I just didn't really care for it. Jimmy, did you have any connection to the films at all?
I mean, I've seen them all. I kind of like them. I don't find them, again, all that scary. It's more horror gore kind of I've always, you know, the movies have always been okay, but yeah, for me this house is mediocre at best. There are a couple scares in it that are good. You see a lot of the classic traps from the movies that they put in here, but obviously you never really see the traps go off except for maybe one.
The rib cage thing.
Yeah, the rib cage thing. Yeah.
Which is cool. That's a cool effect.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really cool. It's weird when you see it resetting in front of you.
Yeah, but like the makeup on her rib cage looks good.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, it's great. Like, I mean, that's one thing you can never knock Horror Nights about is the special effects that they do in the houses are phenomenal. But yeah, they're like, what's kind of funny is I think the best scare in this house is a user triggered effect.
Yeah.
Where, like, Universal always likes to put little buttons and stuff in houses for the guests to use as they're walking by. And one of them is actually an air horn that, like, it's as loud as a train horn, where when you press the button, it's going to be that loud in a confined space. And I jumped out of my shoes when I heard that thing go off.
Yeah. See, I I don't know. Like, yeah, that was a funny moment because me and you had gone through it a couple of times, and the third time, goddamn air horn goes off in our ears, and we're like, Jesus, where'd this come from?
Where the hell did that come
from? Yeah, I was like, what just happened? So like that was a pretty funny moment, but man, this house was not interesting to me at all.
Kind of see the traps in real life, like in front of your eyes, but
yeah, that's the thing is that they're not scaring you. You're just watching other people be tortured.
Yeah.
Like you're not like no one. There's a couple of spots where something jumps out at you, but for the most part, you're kind of making your way through a museum of the torture devices. And you're just watching other people like in situations and nothing is really happening to you. Like, yeah. You're just sort of making your way through. So to me, nothing was interesting because nothing was happening to me. It was just that you were like they weren't going after you. They weren't chasing you. They already chased everybody and they were in their little things. And there's one guy who's very awkwardly placed, like in only like his boxer shorts, kind of like sitting over something on a chain link fence. And he's just yelling. And I was like, I don't know what's going on with you. Like, you should just get out of there. Like, it's just weird. Yeah. I don't know. It didn't engage me at all. This was my least favorite house, unfortunately, this year. And I was sort of hoping to be surprised by it because the films, that's the same thing where I'm like, I get it. You're getting tortured. But in this one, I thought it was going to be like, you're the next person and like, you'd be really hunted. But I never feel like that. I always just sort of feel like I'm just an observer and I'm making my way through. And it just didn't work for me, this house, unfortunately. How about you?
Yeah, no, it didn't really work for me either. I think I gave this one about 2 stars. And I think only because of like the user activated scares in this house were kind of neat and a good way to work it. And I think visually it's still cool. Again, like, you know, you get to see all the traps from the movies and stuff. But other than that, it doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah, this is a one for me. It just doesn't do anything for me. Maybe if I, a couple more runs through. I do like that they even took some of the scenes from the trailer for Jigsaw and put that into the house. So yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, they were able to put those in. But again, like, it just doesn't do anything for me. I hope it does in later visits. You know, I want every house to be effective in some sense for me. But this one was just a nothing.
I do know, when I went Friday night was the night I went through Saw again. And they did make one little change, but we'll talk about that off air. You'll see it when we go. And I don't want to spoil it because I kind of liked it a little better than what was there.
Okay. So, all right. Cool. Yeah. Cool. All right. So that's our, that's the 9 houses right now. And, we're going to give it the 1 through 9 ranking in just a moment. Let's just talk about the scare zones really quick because the scare zones, I'll say right now, I don't think they're great this year.
I'd agree. There's only one really good scare zone this year.
There's potentially two. I mean, there's potentially two. Starting from the top going down, wait a minute. Which one? Maybe I am wrong and I'm only thinking of one. Oh, well, Altars of Horror it's a scare zone, but it's more of like a preview zone for all the houses that you're going to go through that are, IPs.
Yeah.
You go through, there's a stand up, for like, hey, this is American Horror Story and they have a couple of houses. So like that is a scare zone, but it's more of like a meet the cast.
Yeah, exactly.
Section. The Purge is by far the largest scare zone. And look, it's cool. It's just not, for me, it's not visually interesting at all.
Yeah. The only thing visually interesting about it, I think, are the projections you'd see on the window that I showed you the one night.
Yes.
Remember cool.
Those
and that
really
was a neat
cool.
little effect that they did. And
just to explain, just to explain the projection on the windows, it makes it look like there are crimes going on in the fake facades of the scare zone around. So it was really, really cool. Reminded me of the old Hitchcock stuff that they used to have in Universal, actually.
But then, the scare actors that had kind of the neon face masks, they work well once it gets dark outside and it kind of gives it an interesting look. But other than that, it's still the Purge.
It's still the Purge. The most head-scratching scare zone maybe of the whole thing is the Invasion. This is supposed to be like a 50s style, alien invasion thing. I just, I just, I mean, the UFO is great. It's an incredible prop. The size of it's really, really cool. The costumes, though, just scream kind of – if you've played Fallout 4 or XCOM, it just sort of screams out like video look to me. I don't know. This section does nothing for me.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of feel the same way. It's just not – it doesn't blow my mind. I mean, yeah, the set piece is really cool. But other than that, the aliens, I don't find all that scary.
And that's fine. Like, I don't think they have to be scary, but they weren't interesting either. They just sort of – I don't know. It looks sort of stock, which just doesn't work for me. I've heard a lot of people really like this, though. Like, they like it. It's kind of quirky. You know, it's like that 1950s throwback sci-fi thing. And I can see that appeal. I can 100% see that appeal. But it's just not – for me personally, it just didn't work. Trick or Treat is, I think, by far the best themed scare area. Again, not scary by any means, because Trick or Treat is based on a lot of bad 80s costumes. And so bad 80s costumes don't scare me. I also don't have any connection to it. I am not familiar with the movie. I will see it, though. I'm going to see it by Thursday, which is the next time that we're going to be going. But I think it is absolutely gorgeously decorated. I think there was passion put into this, the scare zone, I think.
Yeah, I've heard that that Horror Nights had wanted to make this a scare zone for a long time. So I think they've been making plans for this for a while, and then they finally got the rights to it to put it in as a scare zone, and that's when, you know, all the Universal Creative's minds kind of ran wild and finally got to make like their little passion project.
Yeah, and this is a huge crowd pleaser. People seem very, very happy in this one. A lot of photos being taken. I don't know. You've seen it. The characters are represented well, yes?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
So I think by far it's the one where you can tell, like, oh, someone really wanted to do this.
Yeah.
And then finally we have Festival of the Deadliest, which has sort of been a work in progress, I feel, since they've opened.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should say, you know, right before Halloween Horror Nights was supposed to open – we had the hurricane here, Hurricane Irma, come to Florida. And so it delayed a lot. Universal was closed for 2 whole days. So they didn't get in a lot of the rehearsal times and stuff. And, you know, they'd usually have set pieces kind of pushed out into the streets and whatnot. Me being a Universal team member, I got to go to the Universal team member preview where only team members are allowed in. You kind of get to – it's like a dry run, and it's basically their dress rehearsal because they open 2 days later to the public. Okay. So this scare zone had absolutely nothing in it except for scare actors.
Yeah.
And it did nothing for it. You didn't understand the story. You didn't get what was going on. And now over the last few weeks, as Pete and I have gone, we've seen set pieces go up, scare actors on those set pieces to kind of – you know, bring it to life a little bit more and you understand it a little bit more. And I still think they're making improvements on it that they haven't finished yet.
Yeah, I think this is great. This is definitely the number two of the scare zones. And I think it has a lot of great potential. There's some really cool outfits, really cool costuming in this one. It's sort of their erotic zone, I would say. You know, like there's always like one where it's like, oh, sexy ladies. But the skull character who's kind of like ruling over this section, it's great looking, looking makeup and costume. It's really cool looking.
He's on stilts and he has to be at least 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's a giant. And I mean, it's just a great looking character. And I enjoy it. I've found myself lingering around the scare zone a little bit more and just kind of looking and like I'm trying to get close up to some of the scare actors because I want to see the makeup on their faces. And it looks really neat.
So then to wrap up today, let's just give our from 9 to 1.
I just want to touch on the two shows real quick. I mean, I still haven't seen either of them personally, but there's this year back is Academy of Villains Afterlife, which is kind of like a dance troupe. They've been on So You Think You Can Dance or America's Got Talent. I forget which one. I've heard rave reviews about the show. I'd really like to see it. Again, because of the hurricane, they weren't on their main stage for a long time. They finally started to be on their main stage after this past weekend. So now I'd like to see the show. And then there's finally Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure, which has kind of been in the past a Halloween Horror Night staple. This is actually going to be the final year of it. It's been around for – this is Horror Nights 27. It's been around for 26 years. They didn't start until the second one. But it's a different show every year, kind of making fun of pop culture in America and stuff like that. has a huge cult following among Horror Nights fans. But this is going to be the final year of it, and I will see it eventually. I'm not a huge show person when I'm at Horror Nights. I'd rather wait in lines for haunted houses than sit in go wait 15, 20 minutes before a show, sit in a show for 45 minutes, and then, you know, get out of it. So
yeah, it's a large time dedication to doing that kind of stuff. And I mean, I think it's kind of safe to say the only reason they're getting rid of this show is because the Fear Factor stage is not going to be there very much longer.
Yeah, I think they're going to do another Harry Potter.
I don't think they got rid of it because they were like, oh, it's not popular. It's way more than popular.
Every show is packed.
Yeah, it's way more than popular. That's not why it's going away, which is kind of rare. You know, usually, you know, things move on because we don't have people going into this, but that sure is not like the reason this is going away. I think it's because they're losing their stage.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's no elsewhere really to put it because even the other big stage for like the Pet Actors thing, that ain't going to be there either going in the future. Yeah. So, you know, a fond adieu to that. So let's start with our ranking of our houses this year. We'll just do, you know, we'll go number nine, just the both of us, 9 to 8. So in my number nine spot, I have Saw. I have that at the bottom.
I think from, you know, the comments we've already made, that's pretty much like where I have it at nine also. Like it's the bottom this year.
What do you have following that?
Following that at number eight, I think where this is where we're going to start to differ already. Mm-hmm. I have Hive.
I have Hive also.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I have Hive also because it had one good run, but that doesn't make up for the other times that we went through. And I was like, this seems weird. You know, nothing's really happening here. So, no, I have the Hive at number eight as well.
Okay. What about your number seven?
That's where American Horror Story is right now.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it is. There's two-thirds of that house. Don't do anything for me. I really loved the first one so much. Last year's I thought was just so smart, inventive, and this just sort of seems like a collection of things. The Roanoke thing is great, but the Roanoke part is not as scary effective as another house where I only feel one-third is effective.
Yeah.
So that's why it finds itself for me very unfortunately. And you know what? Absolutely can change. But right now, American Horror Story is number seven.
All right. See, so for my number seven is Blumhouse. I have the Horrors of Blumhouse as my number seven house.
Okay.
Again, like there's just two parts of this that don't really work one works, one definitely doesn't. I am a big Insidious fan, so I think that helps it a bit. But
Insidious. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Now, see, like, I have Blum in my number six.
Okay.
That's where it lies for me. And, again, the reason being, yes, two-thirds of the house I don't think are very effective, but that last third is a hell of effective.
Yeah.
So it's more effective than to me than the American Horror Story ever gets to this year. So that's why I actually bumps. And that's only based on the last couple of trips in there, too. You know, American Horror Story, I'm just waiting for it to get better, but it just hasn't for me yet.
Mm-hmm.
So these are kind of interchangeable right now. My seven and six, I feel like depending on the day, I could flip-flop those. Where do you have your number six?
See, and I feel the same way with my seven and six, where I don't think you'll like this, because I have The Fallen at number six.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay, all right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, The Fallen's good, but at times, like, I don't know, maybe it just falls flat if you miss that big effect that we were talking about earlier. So
very true. It's very true. A lot depends on timing in that one. A lot depends on good timing in that one.
Yeah.
What do you have at your number five, then?
I have Ash vs. Evil Dead at number five. And if you would have told me after week one that this would be even in the, you know, in that number five spot, I would have been like, you're crazy. But I've gotten all in on this show. I can't wait to finish season two and when season three finally starts. But I love this house is so much fun. I put it at number five.
That's where it is for me too. It's right there. Just to be clear, it's a 1 through 9 countdown. In my opinion, the bottom two are not that impressive, but all the other ones are just varying degrees of great to excellent.
I'd agree with that, especially being that this was my fifth consecutive year, there were definitely houses other years that were worse than Saw was this year.
Okay. So, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, there were other Saw, like, if it was between Saw and another house, like, I don't remember any of them off the top of my head, but I would have taken Saw over one of those. You
okay.
know what I mean?
All right. Yeah, because it's hard to be like 1 through 9 and be like, but number 7 is really kind of good. Yeah. 6 is great. You know, like, it's weird to get through that that mental jump. Okay, so we both have Ash vs. Evil Dead at number 5. What do you have at number 4?
I have American Horror Story at number 4 for me. And this might be where it comes in again, where I've seen every episode of every show, so I enjoy the house a little bit more than you do.
I think that would happen for me, too. This is where The Fallen falls. For me, it is my number 4 house. I said 3.5 before. I was wrong on that. It's a 3.0. It just sort of... It's so dependent on a couple of big things where I'm like, God damn, that's cool. And if you miss it, it's a bummer. It's a real mm-hmm. bummer if you miss it. So that's for me. Number 4 is The Fallen. Number 3 for you. Where do you see that?
Number 3 for me, I have The Shining.
I do too.
I mean, I think The Shining probably would have been higher if there would have been more scares in the house.
Yeah, that is the thing with this house is that I don't specifically see there's nothing in the house that scares me. Well, no, I take that back. There's one particular set piece that scared the hell out of me, but that's one thing in a whole house that I think is, you know, so meticulously put together with, like, this is another one where you walk through and you're like, oh man, people really love this movie. Like, the people who put this in, this was a passion thing for them because they put effort into every little detail of every corner of the house. But too much of it happens in plain sight, like, well ahead of you.
Yeah.
One in particular is a shower scare. I mean, you can see it, like, literally 25 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
And another one is, you know, you will be corrected is the line, which is not a line from the movie. But that's another thing where, like, it's well in front of you. You see way too many people get that pop before you have even a chance of not noticing that that happens. For us, Shining in the number 3 spot. Number 2, what do you have here?
I have Dead Waters at number 2.
Yeah, we're in lock on this one. Dead Waters number 2 for me, absolutely. The only reason that it isn't number 1 is because number 1 is so damn good.
Oh, so good.
And that is Scarecrow the Reaping. That's my number 1. It's been my number 1 since night 1 that we went, and it's been challenged by Dead Waters, but I've never had the thought of, does it overtake it? Like, not yet.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's like, I'm not I am such a big fan of Scarecrow that I don't think anything this year will even be able to touch that number 1 spot.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. Also because I'm just genuinely scared of Scarecrows. Like, that setting scares me. It makes me uncomfortable. Where the other setting of Dead Waters, it's cool and it's awesome, but it doesn't already have DNA in my body that's like, you should be scared of this. You know, like, so that's why it kind of works just that one little smidge better for me. So that's our rankings of this house, of the house of, you know, Halloween Horror Nights. And after you're done listening to this, if you haven't already, you're going to want to pop over to the Dopey Dudes podcast, because that's where me and Jimmy are headed literally right now to go and record part 2 of our kind of, you know, crossover episodes this week, all having to do with Halloween Horror Nights. So, Jimmy, I want to thank you again for coming on here. And we're not even going to kind of say goodbye. We're going to just say see you in a little bit, because you're heading right over to Dopey Dudes right now to check out our Q&A with Frank Hart, where we're going to talk about, you know, the first-time visitors of Halloween Horror Nights. We're going to take your questions and answers. Looking to see you over there. So see you later, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'll see you later, Pete. I'll see you later, Jimmy.
Yeah, see you later, Pete. We'll say goodnight, Pogo. All right, guys, we'll see you over there later.